Welcome to Covenant's Pulpit Ministry. Covenant Evangelical Free Church believes that the Bible is the Word of God and that God's Word is vital for life-transforming Christianity. We trust that you will grow to know the Word of God and, more importantly, the God of the Word as you hear this message today. May God bless you as you open your heart to His Word.
My name is Patrick Yeo. So I've worked in fund management for 30 years, married to Su Fang, and have a son, Joshua, and my daughter, Bethany. They're both working now. The beginning of 2022, I've decided, with the agreement of my family, to take a sabbatical, to take about a year off, off work, to rest. Because I've been working non-stop for about 30 plus years in finance. And also on the urging of my family, I sort of decided to go for a medical checkup. So in the middle of March 2022, I went for the medical checkup and unexpectedly, 2 days later, the doctor called me up. So he told me, Patrick, you have very high cancer markers in your medical examination. Can I go through your medical report over the phone with you? I said, no, hang on, doctor. I need to get my wife and I need to come and see you, because I was in a state of shock. Went down to see the doctor and he advised me to go for a series of medical examinations. They found that the cancer has spread to 5 areas of my body, including my lungs, my liver, my lymph nodes, as well as the bones. So that was a real shock to me. So I was diagnosed with cancer of unknown origin, and the prognosis wasn't good. I was given, the really 12 months of remaining life. As a last resort, to go into genomic testing. The family drew very close together and we prayed and we just trust God. My son was telling me, you have to trust God, you have to trust God. God will heal you. So that comforted me a lot. But yeah, at the same time, it's a journey of fear and anxieties. So that night, I really could not sleep well. Right in the middle of the night, I believe it's about 3 a.m., I woke up, I was coughing, and I was trying to turn left and right to try to get to sleep. Right. I could not. I just could not. And many of the nights is like that as well. So I have to, when I could not sleep, I just have to kneel down, kneel on my bed, and just cry out to the Lord. Lord, you have to help me. I'm fearful, Lord, I'm fearful. I'm fearful of the process, I'm fearful of death. Lord, would you walk with me through this journey that you have allowed me to go through. Sometimes I wasn't even speaking all that much. I was just crying and crying and just telling God that, that the Lord has to walk with me. And I do not know the path ahead. How is it going to be for me? How painful is it going to be for me? What do I have to go through? But I just said that I surrender to you, Lord. You just walk with me and I will be comforted, if you should walk with me.
Good morning. We're just so glad that we can gather together like this on an Easter Sunday and such a significant day, whether you are seated here in our main hall or sanctuary or downstairs at the overflow. And this weekend is very special. And as we remember Good Friday and Easter, we remember our God, what He has done for us. And this is also Qingming weekend. And therefore, for those of us who are guests and friends, thank you for joining us. And we do not just remember here in church someone who's dearly departed, but we remember a God in Christ who has not only died for our sins, but was raised to life on Easter. Can we shout amen? Amen. And what we want to do is, I want to bring to us something which I trust will be helpful in our spiritual journey, whether you're a Christian or not. And I trust that our time spent together will be very meaningful in that regard. Some time ago, I came across a comic strip of a lady wearing her wedding gown. It was her wedding day, and she was the bride, and she was waiting excitedly outside the church door, butterflies in her stomach. And she was waiting for the groom to turn up. Except that the groom apparently stood her up, and she waited for half an hour, and finally an hour later, her groom emerged out of the church door with another bride in her wedding gown, looks at this first bride in surprise and says, "Didn't you get my email?" Our journey in life can be marked by unexpected twists and turns. And these twists and turns can come across suddenly to us, and they are not only unexpected, they can be unwelcomed. Now, thankfully, most of us, or at least most, will not get an email or text like this where we get dumped or someone blows us off. But we may get an email about a dreaded 20-minute meeting the next morning with your boss, who's going to become your ex-boss. And your job is here today and gone tomorrow. For Patrick, it was the doctor's phone call telling him that something was flagged out in the report and you need to come and see me, or I need to walk through it with you. As Singaporeans, we're all feeling the heat, literally, because the weather has turned. And yesterday, I was with my wife doing our errands. We feel as though we were melting. And this is unwelcomed. And in those moments, I believe there are two questions in our soul that sit in us. And because of our fast-paced modern life, perhaps we have not had the opportunity to process or even to walk through them. And it becomes a weight that weighs us down as we try to journey through life. When we come to the Easter story that we can find in Luke chapter 24, and if you don't have your Bible, you can ask Uncle Google online to show you Luke 24, we have a real story of two men walking back home on that first Easter morning with their heads hanging down and their shoulders drooping, walking home for that 2 hours. They had entered into the city called Jerusalem, and the political fever was sky high. There was a festival going on, and thousands of Jews had thronged into the city. And besides the festival, there was someone called Jesus whom they anticipate would finally get rid of the Romans, and they are finally free and no longer oppressed. Now, the closest I can think of similar to what happened to them in Singapore is the Japanese occupation, where some of our parents or great-grandparents and grandparents have experienced, where the terror that gripped us as a people during the era, where it just paralyzed us, and the atrocities of the killing, often without trial, those were the days for the Jews then. And they thought that this Jesus would come and finally overthrow and get rid of the Romans. They would finally be free, except that he gets executed and hangs on the cross, shamed publicly. In those days, according to Roman history, when people are hung like that, they are totally stripped naked, nothing, wearing nothing. Totally shamed, executed. And for the two disciples, 3 days later, as they walk home after the festival, they thought to themselves, the show is over and the game is over. But in that 2 hours, something happens in the midst of that unexpected turn of events that changes their lives forever. So here were two men walking back home, disappointed at how things had turned out, despairing, and then that 2+ hours changed their lives forever. I want to just offer to us that there are often two questions residing in our souls when dark times come. And it weighs us down, and until and unless the Lord meets us there, they will continue to weigh us down, and that's what the Lord wants to do in our times of darkness. And because of time, I'll just mention two. The first, in the darkness of our disappointment, where is God? Where is God? Because here were these two men, the Bible tells us as they were walking back home, the way it was phrased, they were not just talking about what happened, they came to a point that they were arguing because they didn't understand what was going on. Because prior to walking home, they had heard from some women who went to the tomb that that Jesus' body wasn't there. An angel appeared apparently that told them that Jesus had risen, but Jesus was nowhere to be found. So the two men were just trying to figure out and they could not make sense of what's going on. All they knew was that there's no more hope. And as they were walking back home, unbeknown to them, Jesus now appears, and the Bible tells us that he comes and he draws near to them. Coming close, without fanfare, without trumpets blowing, even though these two men did not recognize him. Here is a picture of a God. During our dark times, during unexpected turns, a God who is near. So that when we ask the question, where is God? God tells us he is near, even when we cannot recognize or see his divine hand or his divine activity. God doesn't leave us to our own devices, sit in heaven and then play harp, cause bored, and then tells us, if you're in trouble, don't call me, I'll call you. That's not our God. What God does, as we see the story unfold even before Easter, was that he saw a fallen and broken world. He came to be amongst us, to be close to us in the form of a baby at Christmas, grew up, and in that 3 years with that 12 men, rubbed shoulders with people and stayed with the 12 men, eating with them, sleeping with them, sometimes in houses smaller or the size of our one-room flats. That's God up close. And this God who is near, who comes close to us in our dark times, is a God who knows exactly what is going on, even when we can't wrap our head around it, even when we can't find closure. Now follow the story with me, so that by the time Jesus comes and he was asking them, what are you talking about? Come with me now to verse 17. Can you read this together with me? One, two, go. What is this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk? Notice, and they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, near Cleopas, answered him, are you the only one in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened in these days? Stop here for a moment. When Jesus asked them what things, as the God who comes close, this is their polite way of saying, excuse me, which planet you come from? The news has gone viral, it's all over socials, we're getting our WhatsApp, and you don't know. If these two men were teenagers, they'll be rolling their eyes and saying, seriously? But why did Jesus ask that question? Not because he does not know, but because Jesus was giving them in that unhurried space and time to unload, to air their confusion, their questions, and their disappointment. So here is a God given to us in the picture on that first Easter morning, coming close, a God who is near, a God who walks the journey with us, even when we haven't found the questions or the closure yet. That's the kind of God we have. You see, one of the challenges of our modern life is that we are walking and putting faith in a God whom we cannot see. But often how God does it is that God sends someone as his representative to be close to us. Story is told of a five-year-old boy who was very afraid of a thunderstorm because the lightning will strike and the thunder will clap. And so one day, it was bedtime, there was a thunderstorm, he ran to the parents' bedroom and told his parents, mommy, mommy, daddy, daddy, scared. The parents were just exhausted. And so parents said, I tell you what, you just go back to your room, okay, Jesus will be there. Okay, Jesus will be there. So, boy went back to his room. After 10 minutes, ran back to the parents again and said, mommy, daddy is scared. And they were so exhausted. They said, I already told you, Jesus will be there with you. Okay? And the boy says, but I need Jesus with skin on. I need Jesus with skin on. Often, God's way of coming close to us is having people, especially his children and servants, the disciples and followers of Jesus, as skin on. And if you're a guest or if you're a friend not from this church, and if you've been invited and you have come, I believe that's God's way of coming close to you. I want to share a story here with permission, how God was real and close to a family in the midst of their dark times. One of our church members, her name is Adeline. In 2021, Adeline's mom, Madam Wong, was diagnosed with stage 4 liver and pancreatic cancer. So Adeline's the one in the middle wearing black, and mom is beside her. And it came as a tremendous shock to them. After much wrestling, Madam Wong decided to opt for palliative care, which is basically end of life. And Adeline became mom's main caregiver, checking her blood sugar daily and managing other medical issues that came along with the cancer. When Adeline first became a Christian, her mom was dead set against it. But when Adeline was looking after mom at home, Adeline would pray for her. And mom's request was that there'll be no pain in the cancer journey. One day, Adeline was playing an all-time favorite song called Jesus Loves Me. We probably heard it in Sunday school for some of us. And mom excitedly said that she knew the song. She remembered this song played by a missionary back in her village in KL when she was a little girl. A few days later, after this incident, Adeline, together with her husband Steve and Madam Wong, were watching a video of a Hong Kong preacher online. At the end of that video, Adeline had the joy to guide her mom to pray and believe in Jesus for the first time after 30 years. Can we give thanks and praise to God together? Now, here's what happens next. Mom then dreamt of a man wearing a black suit, standing at her room door, holding an iPad, telling her, "Jesus, Lila, Jesus has come." 3 days later, Mom passed away in hospital. Conducting the funeral was Pastor Kirk from our church. And here in this funeral was Pastor Kirk wearing a black suit, holding an iPad. And according to Pastor Kirk, he seldom wears black suits for funerals. But that day, he just felt he had to, and he didn't know why. This was God's way of coming near, coming close to a family in pain and walking through their dark road. And God often places people in our midst, especially disciples and followers of Jesus, as His representative so that we know that there is a God who has come close to us. Now, some of us here, you may be undergoing cancer yourself, or you may know of someone in your family or your workplace in your neighborhood that is walking through cancer, may not even be a Christian. I'm happy to let us know that in this church, there is a team of volunteers who are passionate about walking people through the cancer journey. It's a ground-up initiative called Cancer Care. And they'll be downstairs wearing the white t-shirt with the label Hope and at the info counter, and they would love to talk more with you if you want to inquire more for yourself or on behalf of someone else. Because we believe that as we walk the journey together through the life of the church, through the life of disciples of Jesus, God will come close. Now, for some of us, it may not be cancer, but you're walking through a medical condition that's been long drawn. It's been perhaps months or even years, and you do desire for God to be close to you. And what's going to happen at the end of service later is that this area will be open for prayer, to receive prayer. There'll be a team of people praying for those of us who need prayer, and you're very welcome to come forward as your way of indicating to us that I desire for God to be near me and to show up and show Himself real in this journey. I will be happy to be God's representative to you as we pray for you. In our disappointment, where is God? And the Bible shows us a picture of God who is near, walking the journey with us, even when we don't have the answers or the closure. Here's the second question now, so that sits there as a weight. In our despair, where is hope? Where is hope? Where is hope when I have nothing or no one else to cling to and I have come to the end of my rope? Because often in this modern life, whether we realize it or not, we place our hopes on something or someone. Some of us place our hopes on our good looks, hoping that it will draw attention, or our physique. For some of us, our financial nest egg for our security in the future, and the increasing scams have indicated to us as a solemn reminder how fleeting our wealth can be. Pastor Darwin said, I run fast. I'm turning young senior this year, and my energy is not the same. I have more and more senior moments. My mind can go blank on a Sunday morning. And there are times when during the energy slump, I can't even craft a message to text and send out to people. All of us place our hopes on something or somewhere or someone only to realize along the way that hope is dwindling. And for the disciples, here was Jesus walking with them, and Jesus asked them, what are you talking about, or what things, right? And they begin to describe now, oh, it's about this Messiah, this person we are anticipating who will rescue us from the bondage, from the slavery to the Romans. We had hoped. Now, look at what the disciples said now in verse 21. Okay, verse 21. Can you read this with me together? We had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Ask a stupid question. The hope here, is it present tense or past tense? Past tense. Meaning the hope was there, but the hope was gone. And what did Jesus do to reignite hope in them? To put it back in their soul? If I were Jesus, I know what I do. Since Jesus is all powerful, right? I would snap my fingers and suddenly, I glow like macam the floodlights of the stadium came out. And then, ta-da! And then they too bright, they wear sunglasses. Then I would say, it's me lah, you gundu. Look at my hands. And they'll be elated and know it's Jesus, right? But Jesus strangely doesn't do that. And in that unconventional wisdom of God, what Jesus does, you notice Jesus' response, verse 25, and he said to them, how, oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? Glory not just about his resurrection, but his coming again. And beginning with Moses, which is the first five books of the Old Testament, and all the prophets in the Old Testament, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures, because they only had the Old Testament then, the things concerning himself. So here was Jesus reigniting hope in them, not through the spectacular, but the story. Could he have showed himself spectacular? Of course. But somehow, I believe Jesus knew that when the spectacular happens, our faith can ignite, but it becomes like a bonfire, it will come and go. But when he points them to the story, the unfolding of the story of God, that this God has come through Christmas to be amongst us as God with us, went to the cross to die for our sins so that we are forgiven, on the third day, risen to life to conquer not just sin, but also death, which is the penalty of sin. And he will come again as the Lord and King and Judge, whereas we are reunited with Him, there is no more sin, no more sorrow, no more shame, no more sickness, and all things are made new. He went back to the story so that by the time they finally recognized, as you saw in the video, that it was Jesus, what did they say when they finally recognized it was Jesus? Here in verse 32 now, they said to each other, Yippee, it's Jesus! No, right? They said to each other, did not our hearts burn on the road even before Jesus revealed himself? Something deeper was happening in their souls. Their hope was reignited because Jesus pointed them back to the story, the grand story of God unfolding his hand in the world so that the hope in us becomes unshakable, undeniable. When we ask the question, in our disappointment, where is God? God tells us He's near, walking the journey with us. And when we ask the question now, in our despair, where is hope? God tells us hope is here. When God writes the story here in us, it becomes real. So that when it does, this story, this grand story becomes the new OS, the new operating system in our soul that anchors us come what may. It becomes the new lens by which we see through life, through the twists and turns, knowing that when it's not okay, it's not the end, because in the end, it'll be far and more than okay. Going back to the story, we saw a story of Patrick. He asked for God to walk with him, to walk with him. And when he did, something happened in his soul. Did you catch what Patrick said? As he responds to treatment, he doesn't know how long the journey will be, but come what may, Patrick was feeling peaceful, hopeful, thankful. Come what may. That can be our story in the twists and turns of life. That can be the new OS in us. When we participate in this grand story that God is unfolding in the world, and the story is not over yet. So for those of us who are friends and guests, someone brought you, invited you to this church, we're glad you are here, but you're not a Christian yet. Later towards the end of the message, I'm going to invite you to join in as I pray with you and guide you in a prayer to be part of this story and begin to enter into it by placing your faith and your trust in Jesus. So here is God, my friend, showing us that in our disappointment, where is God? God is near, walking with us. In our despair, where is hope? Hope is here as God writes His story in us. Now, before the music team comes on to share and render to us a song, can I tell you a bonus story? 28 years ago was the darkest period for me and my family. My sister had been having backache when sitting on the chair at work, but she didn't realize there was a tumor at the bottom and the pain was traveling up. Long and short of it was that she was diagnosed with colorectal cancer. And in the process of it, she went through surgery. The surgery was successful. We're very thankful she didn't have to wear a stoma bag. In one of her checks later on, the cancer marker shot up. It had spread to her liver, and basically the surgeon told her the bad news, that there are 3 spots in the liver, at best I can only remove 2. And my sister chose not to undergo surgery again. We had prayed, we had hoped, and we really believed the miracle would come, except it didn't. And it was painful to watch my own sister waste away. The jaundice hit her, she was bloated. And on the day of her cremation, when I came back home, I basically lost it, because I could not believe she was gone. How can God allow her to go like this? How can God allow her to go and leave 2 young children behind? That time they were about 5 and 7. To say that I was disappointed with God was my understatement of the year. Then I became a pastor. And as a pastor, I conduct funerals. 16 years later, after my sis passed on, I was conducting a funeral for a lady. On the night of the wake, before I conducted the funeral, I went to the wake to visit the family. She had 2 children, and the children would write notes to mommy and paste it on the casket. I cried myself home that night. And my wife, Sue, asked me, "Why are you crying?" And I realized in my soul, in my heart, I was crying for 3 reasons. Number one, my heart broke for the children at the wake. Number two, I miss my sister because it triggered memories. But here's the third. I knew God was speaking. 16 years ago, when my sis passed away from cancer, she left behind 2 young children. Her name is Lily. 16 years later, when I conducted this cremation, this lady who left behind 2 young children, her name is Lily. It was God's way of telling me it was not because of an accident, because the surgeon was not skilled enough, that your sister passed on. There are mysteries on this side of life we can never fully grasp or understand. But all we know is that some diseases in this life get healed by God, and we praise God, whether it's healed by God miraculously or through medicine. But there are some diseases that don't. But regardless, come what may, the promise of God to us is that He is near, walking the journey with us, no matter how long. And hope is here when each of us participate in that story and we all wait for the coming of Jesus, where the old order of things has passed away and He makes all things new. The music team will now bring to us a song that describes this God who is faithfully near us. And because He is faithfully near, hope is gloriously here.
So sure we knew what we had. I'll never be the same man I never feel I felt before. It's been a hard year, it almost took me down. When my world broke into pieces, you were there faithfully. When I cried out to you, Jesus, you made a way for me. I may never be the same man, and a man who still believes. When I cried out to you, Jesus, you were there faithfully. I had a hard time finding the blue in the skies above me. If I'm keeping it real, I've been half faking. I may look like the same man, I'm half the man I was. It's been a hard year, it almost took me down. When my world broke into pieces, you were there faithfully. When I cried out to you, Jesus, you made a way for me. I may never be the same man, I am a man who still believes. When I cried out to you, Jesus, you were there faithfully. In my darkest hour, you met me so quietly, so gently. You said you'd never leave, and you stood by your word. So quietly, so gently, in all my pain, you met me. You said you'd never leave, and you stood by your word. And when my world broke into pieces, you were there faithfully. When I cried out to you, Jesus, you made a way for me. I may never be the same man, I am a man who still believes. When I cried out to you, Jesus, you were there faithfully. You were there faithfully.
Thank you, music team. In a few moments' time, we're going to sing a song together to celebrate about Easter. But I'm going to invite us right now, as our way to respond to God, to just bow our heads for a moment and just close our eyes in prayer and give this unhurried space and time for us to respond to God. And I'm going to guide us. As we gather here like this on the Easter morning, as we hear the story of these two men where Jesus met them, and Jesus was near, walking the journey, and because of that, hope is here as He wrote His story again in them. I want to address and give an invitation to two groups of us here to respond to God personally. The first, someone from this church brought you, invited you. You're not from this church, but you are a Christian, or you consider yourself a Christian. But somewhere in your life, something had happened. Turn for the worst. You got disappointed with God, and you walked away. But God didn't walk away from you. He has been near you. Through friends and family He placed in your life. wanting to walk the journey with you. And today you begin to hear God bidding you and inviting you again. Today you desire to take that first baby step now to come close to Him again, to hope in Him again. I'm going to pray a prayer on our behalf. If that's you, and if you resonate with that prayer, already Christian, not from this church, but taking a baby step to return to God, I want to invite you after that prayer, as you pray with me, just to put up your hand up high, just to indicate to me that was me, Pastor Edmund, and we're going to pray with you, whether you're here in the main hall or downstairs at the overflow. Now, here's how this prayer goes. Lord Jesus, thank you that you've always been near. Always. Even when I walked away. Forgive me when I dictate to you what should happen. But right here, right now, I ask that you take over. Lead me. Walk with me. Shine into my darkness, so that as I enter back into your story, you are writing as author of my life. Let my heart be ignited and burn with hope again. So, dear friend, if that's you, responding to God with that prayer, not from this church, but you are a Christian, can I invite you just to put up your hand up high, right where you are? I just want to indicate that, whether it's here in the main hall or downstairs in the overflow, there'll be someone there. Just very briefly now, if you can just raise up your right hand up high just to indicate that to me. I'm going to pray with you before I invite a second group to respond. Eternal God, we ask for the hands raised. We thank you that you're working. And if these are responding to you now, we ask, honor that faith, no matter how small or large that faith is. And make yourself real again in their journey. Show up in such a personal, defining way that they know God is real, God is near. Lord, surround them with community so that as they walk the journey together, we may be Jesus to one another. I want to invite a second group of us to respond. And you came also as a guest. Someone brought you, invited you, and you're not a Christian. And like Madam Wong in the story, perhaps you never had a good impression of Christianity. But today somehow you see a side of God that you've never seen before. And today you realize God is real. And God invites you to participate in His grand story of His arrival at Christmas, His death, resurrection and return, so that hope becomes the new operating system of your soul. The new lens through which you see life. So friend, if that's you, I'm going to likewise pray a prayer on your behalf. And can you also likewise, after that prayer, as you pray this with me, to indicate with your hand raised, Pastor Edmund, that was me. Here's how the prayer goes. Father God, thank you for sending Jesus that Good Friday to die for my sins. And through His rising from the dead, hope for the future would be birthed in my soul. Hope unshakable, undeniable. I acknowledge I'm a sinner, living life without you. But today, I want to enter into your grand story and have you walk with me. I call upon you now as Lord and Savior. Save me and turn my darkness into light. Rule over me that hope becomes real and the anchor of my soul. So dear friend, if that's you, not a Christian, but through that prayer, put your faith in Jesus for the first time, like what Madam Wong did, can I invite you just to put out your hand up high, right? Up high as well. I'll just acknowledge you, pray with you before we join this song together. Anyone here, be it here in the main hall or downstairs at the overflow. Eternal God, we thank you that every time we open the Bible, the Scriptures, you call and you woo us into relationship to be reconciled. And we ask for our friends and guests here as they respond to you, for those yet to place their faith in you. We ask, O Lord, continue to work in their hearts in a way they know you are real until the day they call upon you. For those who have placed their trust in you for the very first time, we know heaven rejoices. And we ask you, surround them with community so that as they walk the journey, they know Jesus is walking the journey with them. We give you thanks. We ask this in Jesus' name. And we say together, Amen.
We're glad you had spent some time listening to God's Word, and we hope that the message has ministered to you. You can visit us at www.cefc.org.sg for more sermon titles. God bless you in your spiritual pilgrimage ahead.